Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com.
From hanselminutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 541. In this episode, Scott talks with Dan Driscoll about building with the Microsoft Bot Framework.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Dan Driscoll. He is a developer on the Bot Framework team at Microsoft Research. So, do you remember Smarter Child about 25 years ago?
Yeah, I do. And a number of other bots that were available on AOL Instant Messenger. In fact, I wrote one back in 2000. I think everybody, well, many developers, as their first bot, port Zork to whatever platform they're using at the time. And that was one that I had set up back then. But it moved on, not making Zork ports anymore. And I'm on the team that's building the bot framework, which is a set of tools for everybody to add conversational interfaces into their own software, bots or otherwise.
Why were we building bot frameworks in, you know, late 90s, but now in the last year, it's become a hot thing? What piece of computer science or technology or what layer of abstraction, you know, hit in this year that made it the time for bots again?
Definitely the artificial intelligence, natural language processing components have gotten a lot better in the last 5 years. If you look at the error rate for natural language processing systems, they've dropped dramatically in the last 5 years. But it's interesting, too, that we have always been trying to build these conversational systems, even 20, 30 years ago. It speaks to this desire for us to interact conversationally with our software. And the tools have caught up now, which is great. And so we can build much better experiences than we used to. But the desire has always been there to interact with software in a way that's not defined by a screen. It's not, bound by the user interface design that we're forced to deal with.
These bots that interact with you via text or SMS or Slack, you know, text-based bots, are they in the same family or are they in somehow related to the ones that I interact with when I speak to them? There's the simple phone tree, press one for, you know, the doctor, press two for the nurse assistant. But I'm thinking about when I call United and they go, "Hi, Scott," you know, because they know me. And they say, "Are you calling about a flight?" And then I'm having a conversation or a limited conversation. It feels bot-like.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are definitely related, although the bots that have existed in customer support systems are maybe more rudimentary versions of what we're able to build now. Speaking to a piece of software has all of the same conversational components as interacting over text or IM. It's just that in one case you're doing it in audio and in the other case you're doing it with characters. And that, I think, is one of the great opportunities that we have with conversational software. If you write a bot that can communicate in text, then it's actually much easier to take that bot and make it available over voice than it would be if you were, you know, didn't have that text technology or you had a visual UI like you have in an app or on a web page.
Okay. So you work on the team that is doing the Microsoft Bot Framework, and people can go to botframework.com or dev.botframework.com if they're a developer and learn about this. And I can go and make one of these quickly and easily myself, right? Like I could make one in an afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. So we put together a set of tools based on our own experience trying to build bots. We built maybe a half dozen bots, and we realized that we kept bumping into the same problems. And we knew that if anyone was trying to add conversational UI into their own software, that they'd bump into the same problems. So we started with the problems that we hit, and we started solving those. So the big three that we've tackled so far is that if you're building a piece of conversational software, you want it to be available where your users are. And those users are often on many different platforms. platforms. They could be on Skype, they could be on SMS, they could be on Facebook Messenger, maybe they're on a web page. And so just connecting a piece of software up to these different channels is a whole load of work. So we built a single API, a single protocol that translates into all of those formats and does all the heavy lifting of, you know, managing all the schemas and making sure that you're talking the right protocol to all of these. You just talk to one API and then you're done. That's the first problem.
So that's the administrivia of the how do I make a thing that lives in Skype, or how do I make a thing that lives in Slack? And then I really just want to hear like transmit and receive events. I don't want to care about all the little admin stuff that is Skype specific.
That's right. And, every protocol has its little admin stuff, but we normalize it and we make it uniform across all of those channels so that, mm-hmm. you know, when a user sends your bot a message, it doesn't matter whether it's Facebook or whether it's Skype, it comes in the same format and you know exactly where to look to get the contents out. And that extra detail, those things like what the timestamp on the message was and who the sender was, and even what the channel itself is, like those things are all communicated in a way that's really easy to use and much simpler than if you had to implement these protocols separately on your own.
Okay, so that normalizes all of that, and I assume that if there's things that one text-based messaging format has, like maybe read receipts, and another one doesn't, then, you know, it's not implemented, or it's not visible, or do I care about details like that?
Well, you may care, and in fact, we think that most developers will care about making their bot, their conversational software, work great on every channel. And so we've actually poked holes through our API to funnel through all of the special features of those channels, even though they may not be modeled in our base API protocol. Now, that base API is designed to be reasonably comprehensive of the features that are conventional across all of the platforms. You know, if right now, most of the chat platforms out there support cards. And so we have a uniform way that if you express a card into our format, then we translate it onto all of those channels. And in fact, we translate it down for channels that don't support cards. So SMS, for instance. So a card, a great question. The Facebook and Skype are both examples of systems where a piece of software can send. It really does look like a playing card almost, where it has maybe an icon on the top or an image, and then has some buttons down below. And you can't generate one of these as a user, but as a bot, you can generate these cards and send them to users and give them more information than you would be able to with just a piece of text.
So, like a poll?
Yeah, a poll is a good example of a card. You can you can send a card that contains.
Well, like if I'm getting like an appointment, if I want an appointment. And you're giving me a list of when times are available for that appointment. Would that be a card?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Or just a yes/no card, a card that says, "Hey, are you interested in, receiving a text message when your package arrives?" You know, you have a yes button and a no button, and okay. You could ask that question conversationally to your user. You could say, "Hey, reply yes or no," or you can just present the buttons. And because of the way that all of these systems represent these buttons, we can actually downrender that into text. So that if you send this card that says yes or no, when you send it to our SMS implementation, we turn that into a piece of text that simply says, "Hey, here's an option for yes and an option for no." And because you can't push a button in SMS, you can just reply yes or no, and it comes back in the right way.
Okay, that's cool. So I think, so a card is a kind of a modeless dialogue box. It's a moment. It's a fork in the road, and it constrains things, but it also is very friendly, right? It's not just, I don't have to type yes. I can just click the button, and you're abstracting all of that away. And then I assume that there'll be other rich media type things. It almost reminds me like of a Twitter card, right? Where it's a piece of interactivity that's in the middle of this stream of text.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it's very similar. And and so cards, I think we were talking about like patterns that are conventional across all the channels. And cards is an example of something which is at this point getting to be fairly uniform. But there are some features specific to some of our channels, and those are things like Facebook and Skype and others, which are specific to that channel. And so for those features, we actually plumb those through our API. So you're not constrained when using the bot framework. And you can still use those advanced features, but you don't have to do all of the heavy lifting. All of the schema management for talking the base set of core features across all of the channels.
Okay. So there's the administration and the hooking up of the bot to whatever channel it has, the chat channel, whether it be Facebook or SMS or whatever. And then there's the parsing of the text, the understanding of the text. Why would I not just write some, string, you know, contains code and make a bot that just looks for certain keywords? And, you know, could I make a rudimentary bot on my own without you?
You certainly can. And I think that's where everyone starts. And for some bots, that works, that's a sufficient, a sufficient solution. If you're building a bot with any complexity, there tend to be two problems that you bump into, and we have different solutions for both of them. So the first problem that you run into is that users express information in lots of different ways. You may be expecting a user to say yes, but they may say yep instead, or yeah, or just the character Y. And if you are, if you're building this on your own, either the switch statement or the list of regexes that you have to maintain to capture all this data gets to be very, very large. And so we have a number of tools from Microsoft Cognitive Services that integrate into the bot framework that make it really easy for you to do natural language processing. And the one that I use almost every single day is a tool called Lewis, the Language Understanding Intelligence Service. And Lewis is sort of like a regex on steroids. Instead of manually coding the regex in, you just enter a couple of sample sentences and it learns essentially what the matching pattern should be. And it has a really simple URL-based interface where you just throw it a piece of text and it says, oh, I think the user's trying to say yes here, and I'm 95% certain of that. So it takes probably 5 minutes to get set up on Lewis. Most of the demos I have, I'm able to produce a working and fully trained model in 2 or 3 minutes. So Lewis is a tool that we integrate with in the bot framework to make it really easy to understand what a user is saying.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the website for this. This is at Microsoft.com/cognitive services with a hyphen in cognitive services. It's a language understanding intelligence service. You said Lewis, could also be Luis. And it looks like it is 10,000 transactions a month free. And then it's like, 75 cents for 1,000 transactions. So for the people who are listening, for maybe thinking about playing with this, prototyping this, this is certainly within the realm of something that they could do for free and play around with this. They don't have to, there's no, outlay to start building your own service.
That's right. And in many of the demos that I do, I give the 100% free version of the demo where I create a trial version of Azure to host my bot. Mm-hmm. Bots in the world of the bot framework are all websites. So you just deploy this website or this web service that has this REST API webhook. I create an App Insights container. So we, inside of the bot framework, we log all of the bot's telemetry information to Application Insights, which makes it really easy to see the calls coming into your system and keep track of telemetry and analytics. And then I create a Lewis instance, and then I glue it all together with the Bot Builder SDK, which is kind of the third problem that we solve in the bot framework. And all of those items are all free, and most of them are, in fact, the Bot Builder, for instance, is totally open source on GitHub. So that's a thing that you can just clone and use directly.
So you said there's three things. There's the plugging in into the chat framework. There's the understanding of the language. And then what's the next one?
So the last one is building a conversational model. And that's accomplished with our Bot Builder SDK. So once you've solved those first two problems, you're now left in this position where you have to keep track of where you are in the conversation. If you ask the user a question, hey, would you like a text message? And the user says yes. That call that says yes is a stateless call into your web service. And you then have to correlate that with the question that you asked. And if you're maybe a couple of layers deep inside the conversation, then understanding that yes related to the order tracking for a particular order, and then correlating that back to like who the user is actually a whole lot of work. And once you build one of these systems, you find yourself, if you don't have any tooling to help support you, you end up with a bunch of spaghetti code. At least this is what I found. The first couple of bots that I wrote, you have all of these kind of small methods everywhere that have to keep track of their own state. So we built the Bot Builder SDK to solve a lot of that, state management problem for you. The Bot Builder SDK makes it easy to build a conversational model where you can ask a question to a user, you can give them a form to fill in. We have a technology called FormFlow where you define a structure in C#, and our code walks that structure and it creates an interactive forum that the user can speak to directly, or text to in this case, and just fill in the values of that form. And then when the user's done, your code now has a completely filled in object that you can then just submit to your existing web application logic.
Interesting. The idea that the bot framework would create something that is fully formed enough that I could even consider it input into a web API takes a moment for me to absorb. That seems almost disturbing. That means that the person, you deserialize their intent into an object and then posted it to a web API.
Absolutely. And that deserialization can be a multi-step procedure. You know, in some cases, the user may describe everything that you need to know in one sentence. And so picking out the pieces from that one sentence is, a complicated and involved thing. And our SDK helps you with that. In other cases, though, they may omit some key piece of data. They may say that they, would like a delivery, but they didn't give their address, or, maybe they left most of the form out, and you have to go through and prompt them bit by bit. And when you're done with that, filling out that form, you may want to confirm it with the user and make sure that that's what they actually intended. So we have that all built into the Bot Builder SDK. So it's easy for you to just say what the result is that you want. You're going to drive the user to a particular, having a completed form. And then we help you out with some of the work in the middle.
Huh. That is really interesting. The idea... Yeah, this idea of the user's intent, figuring out their intent, and then, the pipeline that you move that intent through until it transforms itself from something that is natural to something that is programmatic is really interesting.
Yeah. And we think too that, getting users to interact with software, produce usable middle tier objects, produce objects that you can actually submit to other web services is a really important part of conversational UI. There are certainly chatterbots and bots that just do, dialogue back and forth, but most conversational UI is going to be attached to either a business or a person. And those businesses, those existing websites that are out there where you may want to add an SMS interface or a Skype interface, they all have existing logic that you need to glue into. And so we're looking at our tools as a way to extend existing logic into the conversational realm so that you can put that chat box and SMS and Skype, but even on your own web page. So for instance, we have a client toolkit built in the form of it's an SDK that we have called Direct Line that allows you to take a bot that you've written and embed it in any application. You can put it on a web page, you can put it in a mobile app, and it talks all through the same protocols back to the same core bot logic that you wrote to expose your bot over Skype, for instance.
Interesting. I feel like, just as a user, speaking as a user, not as a developer, that having a smart bot inside of a web page seemed much more natural to me and much more like a thing that I would use. I have enough people in chat already that I'm having trouble keeping track of that I think I would have trouble figuring out which of them was a bot and which of them wasn't, and how, just even picking them up and chatting with the right person. Like, this was a problem with Smarter Child years and years ago. Once you've got 100 people in your chat, I really need a separate group just called bots. I guess that will come soon. Skype for Business or Skype could make me a bots section, self-identified bots.
Mm-hmm. And the bots that are available on Skype right now, they have a hexagonal icon. So they look like bots. There are some keys in the UI that you can tell the difference between a bot and a user. But I think it's interesting you brought up the group conversation, because bots in groups, even though they have their limits, right? If you have a really large group, that can be kind of a challenge to deal with a lot of bots. But bots in small groups can actually make a lot of sense. So if you and maybe a family member or a couple of friends are having a discussion in a group chat, it's really hard to interact with software in that group chat. You essentially have to delegate responsibility to one person in the group to go deal with the web page, because you can't all be looking at the web page at the same time unless you're doing screen sharing, and that doesn't work very well on mobile. So there are a bunch of limitations right now around software use in group chat. And bots are a great way to get a more advanced functionality, really any functionality in the group, in conversational form, so that you can accomplish tasks while talking with others. Let's say you're planning a vacation. You can actually ask, members of the group, hey, what are you interested in doing? What does your schedule look like? And the bot can interact with them either as a group or one-on-one in that group conversation and do much more than you'd be able to if one person took responsibility to go deal with it on their own.
Speaking then as a developer, one of the most famous group bots would be Hubot, H-U-B-O-T, the GitHub bot that is listening and watching in in the GitHub chats and in chat systems like Slack, and it's not necessarily super super smart. You know, it's not thinking about context and booking you a haircut appointment. But, if you mention an address, it shows you a map. If you paste, want a certain image, it'll go and find the image and put it out there for you. And one of the things that I think is interesting is that on the website for Hubot, they say Hubot is a way of life, right? Once you have this helpful, kind of Ask Jeeves in your chat room, when they're not there, you miss them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. Hubot has a lot of great functionality built into it. We think that bots are going to have a lot of capabilities, and those capabilities are going to be very intelligent in many cases. In other mm-hmm. cases, they're going to be a little bit simpler. And that's what, mm-hmm. Some of the stuff you see in Hubot, where if it just sees an address, it'll just show you a location. But even if the functionality is simple and straightforward, that doesn't mean that it can't be intelligent functionality. That location, field doesn't come up in cases where the user may have mentioned an address, but it was in a context where it doesn't make sense for the bot to respond. Or maybe if the bot just does really simple things like math or, other really simple tasks, that it can't be more aware of what's going on conversationally, and that if, let's say, something goes wrong, it can't invoke maybe a human to help out in the background. And so this idea of bot intelligence, the fact that even simple bots can be really intelligent, is something else that we think is important. Even though you don't necessarily have all of the greatest, whiz-bang AI or intent detection, even if your bot is really simple, it can still be intelligent.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of intelligence, the thing that I feel causes bots to break down, or where I feel like the illusion fails, is context as simple as the thing that I just said. For example, I don't remember what exactly I was saying, but I was talking to, Cortana, trying to show it to my non-technical parent, yesterday, and I asked it something and it didn't understand. And it tried to launch a search, and I found that idea of the default action. Like, I would have really rather it just said, I don't know, but then it just took my words and put them in search. But then I said, no, something, something, this. And I referred contextually back to the previous thing. And at that point, it lost all context. How do bots keep track of like this and that and reflexive type stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question, and one that we bump up against on a regular basis. So we've added some of that into our Bot Builder SDK because it does come up so often. We build bots where you certainly do have to respond back via like a pronoun. So let's say you're looking up someone's office, you say, "Hey, where is Scott's office?" And then you can say, "Well, how long will it take me to get there?" Or right. "What is Scott's what is his email address?" And right. So those are problems that we bumped into, and we try and push all of those features into our SDK. So that everyone can use them.
Right. Something as simple as how do I get there or take me there? And then it's like, where? And it's like, well, we just had this conversation. We're in this conversation right now.
It's interesting. Bots and conversational UI in many ways these are a set of solutions to problems that we've had forever, where we look at software and we say, why doesn't it just do the thing I want it to do? And conversations, because we can be so, we can be specific in conversations and because we don't have to go hunt for the piece of interface, mm-hmm. we don't have to hunt for the button or the menu where this thing is hidden. We can just express it directly. It's actually a way that we as software developers can finally give tools to people to solve those questions. Why doesn't the thing just do, why doesn't it know what this is? Why doesn't it mm-hmm. know what we were just talking about? We now have a canvas in front of us where we can actually start to solve those problems. So you're right that it is hard sometimes to, or developers will find it to be a challenge to process this field, mm-hmm. but we're going to have better and better tools over time to help them do that.
Okay. Now, I can do this in .NET or in Node, and I get the same functionality using either one of those environments?
Yeah. So, our SDK has first-class support for those two languages. And we have really great tooling on both sides. It looks a little bit different because the coding paradigms in those two languages are different. But if you aren't interested in using C# or Node, let's say, you know, you're a Python or a Ruby shop, or you want to write a bot in COBOL for some reason, as long as you talk our simple REST API format, you can still use the bot framework. It's just that the bot builder SDK isn't yet available in those languages.
Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation with some folks about the new .NET Core and how the command line works. And we were having an interesting conversation where it was like, well, do you type .NET new hyphen T or just .NET new this? That? And I realized we were building a kind of a conversational UI. We were just trying to stick it on the command line. It was a way of figuring out how to translate that. And then I noticed that the bot framework has a thing called FormFlow, which looks to me a lot like the way that Yeoman does its interactive creation. You type yo, and then it gives you a little, not quite a full screen program, but you're suddenly in a menu, and you can say, you know, please select a sandwich, press one, press two. It's an interesting compromise where you're not quite a full on app, but you give them a little bit of something. Is that like a card? Is FormFlow related to the cards you mentioned before?
So FormFlow is actually the same thing that we were talking about earlier, where you can essentially wrap a conversation around your existing C# objects and have it just work naturally inside of the conversation.
So that's the serialization, deserialization, and the presentation of that choice or that data. That is the same thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is that a dialogue in the parlance of the bot framework?
It is actually that is the term that we used. You know, there's a lot of parallels between writing basic window managing systems and writing conversational systems, even though the presentation is very different. There are some things that are similar, and so yeah, a dialogue is what we call it. So you can nest dialogues together. You can have a dialogue to answer a specific set of questions or fill in a form, and those things all cough out a conversational engine that you can then attach to whatever. And so actually, if you wanted to embed that conversational engine in side of a rich application, so it works just like very similar to like a REPL or some sort of an interactive language tool. The bot builder lets you do that. It lets you glue that straight into whatever canvas you want.
Is the term dialogue in this context deliberately kind of a double entendre? Is it doing double work because it is a dialogue? Like a conversation and a dialogue that pops up on your screen?
Yeah, well, and I think the history of dialogues on our screen were there because it became kind of like a dialogue that we have with people where it's a kind of a temporary thing that we do. We interact with it and then we close it. And then we're able to move on and do other work. So yeah, it's sort of like the two sides of the fork are coming back together again.
Interesting. Okay. So the bot framework made a lot of splash. It made a lot of press. There were a couple of bots made. Some of the bots more successful than the others. In that when you can like unleash a bot onto an unsuspecting public, the intelligence behind the bot can get confused and cause the bot to do weird stuff. Is that bots that went wrong, or is that AI that gets confused? And how do I make sure that my bot stays constrained and does what I want it to do and order pizza and not, argue politics with people?
That's a great question and a very, very common, I think, valid concern. The term bots is a really broad term, and it covers a lot of different pieces of functionality and behavior. And so what we were working on here in the bot framework is conversations. So it's building conversational software. The term bot can also refer to autonomous software, right? Like botnets. And there was actually there was a bot recently that fought a bunch of court cases. And those bots are, if you reduce them all the way down, they really are sort of for loops, right? They're just doing one thing and they're doing it in a way that is very effective to solve a particular problem. Or if you're building a botnet, it's effective at taking down a system, but it's more or less just a for loop. And there's also artificial intelligence. So some of the chatterbots have some AI capabilities where they can respond intelligently to things that you say to the bot. And these are kind of all separate things, even though they all use the term bot, and actually robots too, right? So physical robots are also covered by this term, but are not really the same as those other three. If you're building conversational software, you do have artificial intelligence tools at your disposal, and you're going to want to include them to make your tool, to make your bot be able to understand what users say, you know, the flexible language that they're expressing to you. But those tools are very scoped and they're very predictable. So that Lewis tool, it's a regex on steroids. It just turns text into essentially an enum, right? It does intent detection. It doesn't do any automatic responses for you. And all of the cognitive services tools that we offer all have mission-specific functions. They all have a very clear thing that they do. They take a specific set of inputs, specific set of outputs. And it's up to you as the developer to glue those things together. So if you want to take one of these AI tools and strap it to a for loop, you can do that. If you want to just have it return, you know, some text that you've typed up, you know, some authored text that you've maybe collaborated with a writer to produce, you can do that too. That's a little bit different than having autonomous software or having, you know, physical robots. They're all different ways of looking at the same term, bot.
Okay, so you know we're ascribing a lot of meaning and a lot of intent and Skynet to a three letter word here. You know, it's bot is a very, very small word that describes a very large area. And during this conversation, we've understood that it's not just a large area; it's a whole pipeline. And you can't really point to one piece of the pipeline that goes wrong and say bots are bad.
Right. That's exactly it. And in some ways, we're in the same space as we were with websites back in, you know, 1995, where it looked like this thing that would sort of live on its own, right? A website was sort of just distinct from the company that ran it, and it was different than their retail presence. But over time, the website and the company and everything kind of blurs together. And conversational software already has a little bit to an extent. So my voicemail message is a bit of conversational software already. The out-of-office responder on my email is sort of like a bot version of me that responds to you when you send me an email and I'm out of the office. So we already have kind of simple rudimentary forms of conversational user interface all over the place. And as they get to be more advanced, we're going to find ways of integrating them into existing businesses, software, ways of running our lives that are really natural, that they don't have a lot of ragged edges on them. You know, you'll be able to do things like text your plumber. Even though your plumber doesn't necessarily have, you know, a single text line that they expose to you, they may have a piece of software that fronts their phone number so that you can ask them questions, you can get their location, and their software will respond, their bot will respond, even though the plumber may be busy doing another job.
Very cool. Well, I really appreciate you chatting with me today.
Likewise. Absolute pleasure.
So folks can check this out at botframework.com, developersdev.botframework.com. You can get started. Definitely get started as a weekend project. You can get your Hello World bot running very, very quickly. And this is some pretty cool stuff. And it's happening right now. And I assume it's being actively developed.
Yes.
Very cool. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. And we'll see you again next week.